Hi, everybody. Welcome to Core Light's Spiritual Weather Report from March of 2020. This is Brad, and Leslie's sitting here with me. We're in our living room in beautiful South Africa, and Leslie is smiling at you all right now. And as you know, if you've been on the calls at all, I'm the one doing the talking now, and Leslie's being silent and transmitting the Shakti, which is the healing energy. So we invite you to tune in and feel that beautiful healing energy that Leslie is sending you from the bottom end of the Nilotic Meridian here in South Africa. She's got her hands up in the air, beaming energy at you. So gosh, where to start? Before we dive in, just a couple of announcements. I mentioned last time we've fixed the summer event schedule, and the brochure for the summer events is almost finished. So that'll be going out by email very soon. And in the meantime, if you'd like to hold the dates, I'll be in London. I'm doing an event in London, and it looks like it's May 2nd. It's possible that may shift to May 9th, but right now it's Saturday, May 2nd. And then Santa Fe, New Mexico, May 29th through 31st. Sacramento, California, June 19th through 21st. The Bay Area, Berkeley, California, June 26th through 28th. Reno, Nevada, July 10th through 12th. Portland, Oregon, July 23 through 26th. Boulder, Colorado, August 14th through 16th. Boston, Massachusetts, September 12th, and Albany, New York, September 18th through 20th. And then we're doing a retreat in Greece in October, and that's all the information about Greece is on our website. We haven't posted the information about the other events yet, but we're very excited. I'm so happy to be invited back to the different cities in the U.S. and to London, and I'm really looking forward to seeing you all again. So Leslie also, just before the call, Leslie and I were talking, and I asked Leslie if she had a message for everybody, and she did. She gave me a message, so I'm going to start by reading you her message. She says, I am tracking people's fear level on the planet. Fear is coming up as we all move from the third dimension into the higher dimensions. Please do not buy into it. You have the capacity to love. You have the capacity to go beyond the fear. Stay in your witness and choose love, not fear. Have faith that you can do this. You are strong. So we'll talk a little bit more about that. It's interesting that she said that, because I was actually planning on talking a little bit about the fear quotient on the planet right now. It's up. For those of you who are sensitive, you may be able to feel it as well, but there's a spike in the fear level of the collective right now. So it's so important for us to be in our witness and to transcend that fear right now by not buying into it and staying strong in the witness. So yeah, we'll talk more about that in the call. But for now, why don't we start with our guided meditation and deep relaxation. Before we begin, just a reminder for all of you, I'm pretty sure most people, I didn't track who all called in today, but I'm pretty sure most people have been on the call. So you know that Leslie is transmitting her Shakti, and that's a healing energy. Shakti is the Sanskrit word for healing energy. And we invite you to be meditative throughout the call and receive the transmission. The more you can relax, the more you can go yin, the more that you absorb this healing energy that's coming. And whether you're with us live today or you're listening to the recording, it doesn't matter, because we're all part of the field. We're all connected. Time and space don't really exist except in the third dimension. So you can tune in to these other levels of reality beyond time and space, where we're all connected in the unity and in love. and we will all receive this transmission of light that's coming through during the entire call. So even while we're talking, you can be in this state. So I invite you now to get comfortable. Close your eyes. Whether you're sitting or lying down, just relax all the muscles in your body. It's best in whatever position you're in if you can keep the spine straight. That's very helpful. And let's begin with a few long, slow, deep breaths. Breathing in the light and breathing out any tension you might be feeling in your body. Breathing in the love and the life force that surrounds you. Breathing out any worries about the past or the future. Breathing in the present moment. Just letting go with each breath. And as we talk right now, I'm hearing hyenas outside whooping in the distance. It's very rare that we hear those. So their hyena energy is with us tonight. So just as you meditate, as you relax, just absorb this African energy that Leslie and I are sending from our living room here in South Africa. Continue your breathing and feel and visualize a warm viscous liquid pouring over the top of your head like honey, relaxing every muscle it touches, relaxing your scalp, pouring over your forehead, relaxing your brow and your scalp, letting it pour over and relax your eyeballs, letting them fall back into their sockets. Deeply, deeply letting go. Relaxing the cheeks and the jaw, and the nose and the ears. Relaxing the back of the tongue. Focus on the back of the tongue for a few moments and really just allow it to completely relax. When we relax the back of the tongue, the whole region of the body relaxes. So just feel that. The back of the head, the neck, the shoulders, the jaw. Completely letting go. Oh, breathing in the light to these places where we hold so much tension, especially the shoulders and the jaw. Feel this honey pouring over your arms and relaxing all the muscles in your upper arms and lower arms, wrists, hands, fingers. Feel it pouring over your chest, relaxing your entire chest, your upper back, your abdomen, your lower back. Breathing deep down into your belly. Take a long, slow, deep breath. Excuse me, and hold it in. Breathing air way down deep into the lower part of the lungs, replacing the stale air there with fresh, vibrant air filled with Shakti. Breathing out all the stagnant energy that's deep down inside. Feel the lightness as you release all of that. And feel this honey pouring down over your hips and your pelvis and your buttocks. And let's take a moment to really focus on the psoas muscles, which run down the front of the hips. It's another place where if you can relax those psoas muscles, you relax that entire region, the whole midsection of the body will relax. So just take a moment to allow that let go. Allow the honey to continue to pour down over your legs, the thighs, the hamstrings, releasing all the tension in the muscles, the knees. Shins, the calves, ankles, feet, and toes. Completely relaxing the entire body. And let's do another scan of the body from head to toes, just relaxing all the muscles. I'll be quiet for a few moments while we each do this. Just continue your breathing, breathing the light into any place that might still be holding tension, breathing out any tension. So now I invite you to put your attention on the root chakra and just feel how when you put your attention on the root chakra, which is at the base of the spine between the anus and the genitals, just gently putting your attention there, just feel how that whole area relaxes and opens naturally. And it's okay if you are not feeling it. You can just set your intention that you'd like to feel that, and it will happen one day. And for now, you can just visualize. Just relax that area. Allow it to completely open and relax. And drop your grounding cord from the root chakra down into the earth, all the way down to the center of the earth, connecting with the core of the earth. Wrapping your cord around the core. And commingle your energy with the energy at the core of the earth. And feel how connected you are. Feel how grounded you are with this exercise. And for a moment, place your attention on the part of your body, parts of your body that are touching the earth through the chair or the floor. Just be with that for a moment, that place of connection with the earth. Feel how gravity brings you down towards the earth, very gently pulling you, and feel how the Mother Earth supports you from beneath. Just be with that connection for a moment. Feel yourself relax. Take a big, deep breath and let go. Relax into the arms of Mother Earth like a little baby being cradled by its mother. Completely letting go into her arms. Really relaxing. Completely trusting, knowing that you're safe. There's nowhere to go. There's nothing to do. You're here right now, safe and warm. And you can let go. Feel the freedom of that. when we feel safe, we can open the root fully and let go. So just allow yourself to feel safe, like the little baby cradled in its mother's arms. Mother Earth cradling you right now. And feel the deep peace in your body as you let go. And then draw the energy from the earth up through the soles of your feet, all the way up your legs, up to the root chakra. And draw the energy of the earth, this beautiful grounding, healing, anchoring energy. Draw it up the shushumna, up the core of the body, the central meridian of the body that runs right in front of the spine. Feel and visualize the core as a luminous tube of light, like a fluorescent tube, runs right down the middle of your body. So feel the energy moving up that tube, healing and balancing all of the chakras as we move past, up past the navel chakra, the solar plexus chakra, the heart chakra, the throat, up to the third eye, and the cave of Brahman. And let's pause for a moment at the cave of Brahman, which is the spot in the middle of your head, right in the center of the head, between the ears and a few inches back from the third eye, the point between the eyebrows. So find that spot in the middle of your head and just be with that place. It's a magic place. And you can feel it when you go there, when you're there. You know you're there because your consciousness shifts. You feel slightly altered, your thought stops, and you feel a little bit of an expansion happening in that area. Sometimes a big expansion, as though your head is growing in size. And it's the connection, it's a magic place where we feel the connection to the source, to the cosmos, to the all that is. Just allow yourself to be there. And when enough of us are there, it becomes a very powerful field that we hold as a group. So let's just pause as we all go into this place. Just relax. And if you don't know how to do it, it's okay. You can just set your intention that that's what you want. Will your energy to be there and relax and don't think about it. Don't effort at it. Just relax. Be in this place in the center of your head, cave of Brahman. Feel the deep peace. Such a beautiful place to just hang out. Could actually hang out there all the time. I'll be silent for a few moments while we all hang out there. Feel how the crown chakra naturally opens when you're in this place. Feel it as a thousand-petaled lotus on the top of your head, unfurling petal by petal, opening up and out, sitting on your head like a crown that a king or a queen would wear. And you might find a smile appearing on your face spontaneously, because when the crown opens, you feel happy. Feel your connection to the celestial realms, Father Sky. Feel and visualize a beautiful golden white mist raining down from above, filling you up. Warm, blissful energy filling up your crown, filling up your aura. Allow your body to soak it in. Feel and visualize every cell in your body like a miniature sponge, soaking it up. Trillions of little sponges inside you soaking up this beautiful golden white light that's raining down from above, pouring into your crown like a funnel. Feel your crown like a funnel opening up and out on top of your head. As you fill up with this beautiful golden white light from the celestial realms, just relax like you are hanging from a string, like a Christmas ornament would hang from a tree. Just hang, completely letting go, relaxing all muscles. Nothing to hold on to. You're being held up by this string, by this hook on the top of your head. So as you hang there, suspended in midair, feel how your body is the connection point between heaven and earth. Feel how your physical body is a beautiful, beautiful expression of your soul here on planet Earth. Just say inwardly to your body, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love my body. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. The body goes through so much, and it's such an extraordinarily miraculous vehicle. It allows us so many experiences here on this planet. It allows us to experience joy. It allows us to learn our lessons, our soul lessons. It's truly a walking miracle. So as we relax and hold this place as the midpoint between heaven and earth and our physical body, I'm going to say a prayer and an invocation for our gathering today. We call on the Great Spirit, Divine Mother, Father God, the self that we all are. we call on all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, all the ascended masters, gods and goddesses, angels and archangels, all the beings in the invisible realms who surround us in the highest love and support. And I invite each of you now to silently call in your own guides who you know support you in the highest way. Invite them into this call. Might be Jesus, Mother Mary, Kuan Yin, any lineage masters. We invite you all into this call, and we ask that you please surround us in the highest love and support. Wrap us up in a cocoon of beautiful golden white light and healing energy. Please guide our conversation into the highest love and the highest wisdom. And we give great thanks, knowing that this is so, and we give great thanks for this opportunity to share our love today, to share this time, to share this beautiful journey in these beautiful bodies on our exquisite, fragile blue-green planet, which is going through a very challenging time, which is shifting dimensions. And all of us, including humanity, experiencing the challenges associated with that. So we ask to be guided. We ask to be guided in the highest way so that we can live in love and bring our love and our joy and our wisdom into the earth at a time when it is much needed. And we offer our deepest gratitude that we have this opportunity. Thank you. Aho. And so now I invite you to gently bring your awareness back into the room and into your body. And as you slowly come back, I invite you to remain in this very relaxed and meditative state throughout the call, even through the talking, and just to continue to absorb the light that we're receiving, even through our conversation. And I know many of us have to multitask on these calls, and that's fine, of course, and even while you're multitasking, you can still remain meditative and relaxed and receive. So I thank you. Thank you, everybody, for showing up today, or whether you're listening present time or in the future. That's all okay, because we're all part of the field, no matter when we listen to the call. And I feel like that's a really important thing to remember, that this is a field. It's a field that we're all co-creating. And it's a powerful healing field that helps us to transform. It may seem like we're doing a lot of talking, and all the talking may be valuable. And I would also say that probably the most important part of the call is the energy. So just be aware that even though it seems like we're talking mostly, that the energy transmission and the healing is happening in the background. And so you'll want to just be gentle with yourself and allow that to happen and unfold. And be gentle with yourself throughout the day after the call so that you can make the most of the experience. Okay, so thank you. And just before I get started with chatting here, Barbara, is there anything that you would like to share with the group?
Only that I'm really grateful to be here with all of you. And Brad, that was such a beautiful meditation, and I'm really still feeling the downpour of golden light that you've really shared with all of us. It's wonderful to be in the field with everyone.
Oh, thank you, Barbara.
Thank you.
I'm so grateful you're here, as always. You're quiet in the background, but I know you're anchoring and you're holding space for all of us and doing so much. So thank you.
Thank you, Brad.
Yeah. So I also just want to acknowledge, as I said in the beginning of the call, we're transmitting this beautiful African Dreamtime energy is what we call it. And I know my friends Ruth and Glenn are on the call with us. They're here too, not far from us. We're about to start a retreat in a few days, and so they came a little early to get accustomed to the energy and relax into the new time zone and the new hemisphere. And so welcome, Ruth and Glenn, and thank you for sharing the African Dream Time with us from where you are. And maybe you'll get a chance to speak later in the call. So, so I invite everybody to tune in and feel that African Dreamtime energy. It's really beautiful. It was so interesting that the hyenas started whooping right when we began. So I wanted to share an experience that I had this week. As most of you know, Kathy Stanley is teaching a course through Core Light called Earth Shakti Rising. And she's been giving us these most wonderful assignments every week. And one of the assignments was to create an earth altar where I won't tell you all the details, but it's been a profound experience for me where you go out into nature and you create your own altar of sorts with sticks or rocks or leaves or whatever you want to do, crystals and so forth. And here where we are, we're just surrounded by nature. Surrounded by trees and mountains, and we're in the mouth of a canyon, and it's just this beautiful, beautiful area here. And what I realized this week as I worked with my earth altar was just how little time I actually spend connecting with the earth. And I just thought, wow, boy, what an eye-opener that is. Because, you know, here we are, we're these beings of the earth. And so much of our time is spent doing. And, you know, we have jobs and we run around and we have lives and we earn money and we have relationships and we do things. And I just recognized as I spent time with my earth altar and just being in nature, how important it is to take that time, even if it's 5 minutes every day, to just connect with the other beings that we share this earth with, the trees, the animals, the rocks, the rivers, the water, the clouds, the wind. It's all part of us, and we are completely connected. There is no separation from that. And I know you've probably all heard this before, and this is just a reminder, but I say it as a reminder because I reminded myself this week, and it's an experience, it's an exercise that I'm going to carry with me even after Kathy's course is over in a couple of weeks. I'll be continuing my experiences with nature, even if I can only spare 5 minutes a day to be outside and feel my oneness with the other beings. I'm reminded of a retreat that we did once in the American Southwest, and there was a Native American shaman who guided us through part of the trip. It was at Canyon de Chelly, and that's Navajo territory. He was Navajo man, and he said, you know, we don't call ourselves Navajo. That's a name other people gave us, but we're known as Diné, and Diné means people. We're the people, and actually it's not just Diné, we're Diné, which is the people. And he said the name that we have for the rocks in our language, the Navajo language, is the rock people. So it's whatever the word for rock is, Diné. and the rivers are the river Dine, and the mountains are mountain Dine, and the wind Dine, and the animal Dine. And so we're all people. Every single aspect of the earth is our brother, our sister. And so I'm just coming more and more in touch with this. You know, this is a mental understanding, I think, that we all share, that we all have. And I'm just aware from my own personal journey that I'm being called more and more to connect with the earth in this way. And it's been this way for a while. Kathy's course is bringing it up for consciousness for me. It's making it conscious more and more, and it's an actual visceral experience through the connecting. And so I invite you all to do that. I know I've been talking about this. I think I talked about it on the last call because I was starting to experiencing it then. Excuse me, I was starting to experience it then. And it's a profound experience. So I do invite you, if you can make the time, if you can make the 5 minutes a day to just be with nature or create an earth altar and be with it and feel your connection to the beings, to the people around you. And I guess I also want to add, this is a much more feminine approach to the path of spiritual awakening. And most of us, most of the people I know anyway, most Westerners have been on a more traditional path of awakening most of our lives. And that's about connecting to the source through silence, through meditation, through a mental processing, through a realizing our unity with the all that is through these other means. And that's perfect. You know, it's perfect for what it is, and it's profound, and we've all had our profound experiences with that path. And I think it's important to note that it's a much more masculine form. So I just want to be clear, it's not that either is good or bad, it's just that we're being called now into this balance of masculine and feminine within us. And I've been teaching this and working with this, as has Leslie, for many, many years, as have most of us on the call. This is, for me anyway, personally, this is coming more now into the body through this recognition of the earth-based practices, and that is a very feminine form. And I'll share a little story with you. I remembered this today when I was thinking about what I wanted to talk about on the call today, when I wanted to share this with you. I remembered long ago when I first met Leslie, and we were just starting to lead retreats together. Some of you on the call who have been around for a while may remember this. Some of you might have been on this particular retreat I'm going to talk about. We wanted to do a silent meditation retreat because I had learned to meditate. The beginning of my spiritual path was through Vipassana Buddhism. And if you've ever been to a Vipassana Buddhist center, you can have profound experiences there through the silence. And it's very much about meditating all day long, whether you're sitting formally in meditation or doing a walking meditation or performing a simple task in meditation. But it's all about meditation, and you don't have eye contact with other people. You don't speak to other people. You're very much in your own space. It's a very silent period of solitude where you're connecting with the source through that path. And that's a very masculine path, very traditional path. And we tried it for, like, I think it was a day or maybe 2 days. We all looked at each other during there was always a period of about an hour in the day where there was a Dharma talk. Leslie would give a talk to the group. And I remember we all looked at each other and we said, what are we doing? You know, it's so hard to not look at people in the eye and smile. I love everybody so much, and I just want to smile and share my heart and connect and love and feel. And we threw the silence and the meditation out the window, and we just decided to continue our meditation retreat, but without the quote unquote rules, you know, and really just allowing that love and connection that we see in each other, the sharing of our hearts with each other, the connecting in community with each other. And that's the more feminine path, the connecting through community, the sharing, the having compassion and love for each other. That is a much more feminine path. Not that it doesn't exist in the more traditional paths, but anyway, we experienced that at this retreat. It was a very palpable example of the difference between the two. And again, both are valid. I'm not trying to say one is not valid and the other is, but it's, I think it's just important that we recognize the differences now. I know if you've been around Core Light at all for any period of time, you'll remember Leslie always said, you know, I'm a bridge. She said, I'm a bridge between an old paradigm and a new one. And so I took the body of a woman this time because that's part of the new paradigm, is bringing in the feminine. But I'm also teaching in a way that is at least partially in the old paradigm, because that's also a form that makes people comfortable, and it's a way of connecting with people so that it does have a form that's associated with the tradition. And so anyway, we were always, through Core Light, we've always been straddling the two worlds. And I think now that we're well across the halfway point over the bridge, if not all the way on the other side. And so I feel like it's just important to acknowledge that there's this rising of the feminine power now. There's this this balancing of the two paths that's happening more and more for each of us. And I don't know about you, for me, I am actually finding it difficult. I have this experience now for the past few years. I've had this. I sit in my morning meditation. I've had this tradition, this practice of every morning sitting in meditation. And I used to be completely silent and still. And now, after the first few minutes, as soon as I get into a deep state, I find myself moving my arms and moving energy around and sometimes getting up and dancing around the room. you know, it's like I feel like this is the masculine and feminine that lives inside me. You know, there's the masculine side that would love to just sit still and be silent and experience the deep unity, the deep power of the silence and the stillness in the core. And then there's this other side, which feels like the feminine side, who wants to move and dance and sing and listen to music and celebrate. I think of the goddess Hathor, the Egyptian goddess Hathor, and Lakshmi. You know, these are the goddesses of celebration and beauty and abundance. And that's the feminine path. And so I feel like the earth-based practices are all part of this. It's a deep feminine wisdom that is awakening in the world. And I feel like it's very important that we name it. And so I guess this is an exercise we can all be doing, if you're not already, to name. What are the things that you do in your practice that feel more masculine and traditional? What are the things you're doing in your spiritual practice that are more feminine and new? And again, to practice not judging either side, but just being aware, just acknowledging that there is this balance happening. And also a recognition that Mother Earth is calling us. She's calling to us now to reconnect with her and to snap out of our sleepwalking state, our sleepwalking and separation, you know. Like I was saying in the beginning of the call, 5 minutes a day of being outside and connecting with nature is enough to help me, anyway, I'm sure all of us, snap out of this sleepwalking that we do, where we're not even aware that we're sharing the earth with these other people called trees or mountains. So the Divine Mother, she's calling us. And how much do we hear her? And how much are we listening to her? And how much time each day do we spend connecting with the natural world and feeling our connections with other people, whether they're human people or other forms of people? And what form of this spiritual path are you drawn to? What do you want to do? What does your body tell you it wants to do? And we have permission now. We have permission to follow that, to tune into our body and to feel what does it want and follow that. Because when we follow that heart opening that the body's saying, you know, this is what makes my heart open, that's spirit talking to us. That is spirit guiding us to say, that's the path for you. Go there. And is it a more masculine or a more feminine path, or is it a balance of the two? And all are okay, and it is good to name it. So I want to say a little bit more to shift gears just on a separate topic, to talk a little bit about the prevailing energies. As we've been saying, I guess for years probably, the intensity and the acceleration are continuing. Do we need to even say that anymore? It's just every month it seems like it's ramping up. The systems of the old paradigm are coming apart at the seams. And as that happens, like right now, as we were talking about before, earlier in the call, as like Leslie's message, as she was sharing, there's this spike in the collective fear right now. And I won't go into the details. You know, all you need to do is look at the news headlines, and there's many, many reasons to be afraid, be very afraid, you know. And the truth is, as Leslie said, it's so important for us right now to be in our witness and to not buy into this fear, to not let it take hold of us, because fear is contagious. When fear comes into the room, you can feel it. It sweeps over people easily. And, you know, it's important to remember to be in our witness around it. And I would say especially to remember that we're sharing our thoughts and we're sharing our feelings with the collective, and the collective shares with us. So what we feel is not necessarily ours. And it's very important, if you're feeling a wave of fear pass through you, to get in your witness and say, where is this coming from? Is this mine? Is this, am I feeling the collective? What's going on here? And do whatever it is you need to do to allow the fear to pass through. And there are many, many, many ways to do that. You know, at Core Light, we process. We look at fear face on and we do squares and we say, what is the fear? We name it and then we process it through the marriage of spirit techniques and other techniques. And other people will exercise it right out of their bodies, you know, through movement or dance or singing, yoga. Anyway, I won't go, you know, all the things you can do through meditation and massage and all the things you do to move energy through your body. Whatever works for you is what you need to do. But I think it's important for us to remember that right now, it's an amazing opportunity to practice witnessing the fear and to remember that we are souls having a human experience, not the other way around, not humans who occasionally have spiritual experiences. Because when we remember that we're souls having human experiences, it's much, much easier to let go of that fear, that the fear is just a frequency that's passing through the body. And then we can just let it go and recognize that, oh yeah, well, the body has fears. You know, the body fears its death, the body fears pain, the body fears all kinds of things, and that's natural. It's totally normal for the body to have that. And so when we can get in the witness and remember that we are souls having a human experience and that we're not this body, we can then relax more and just acknowledge, accept that the body's having a fear. Or maybe we see through our witness that it's not even ours at all, that it's just from the collective passing through. So I've been processing with a lot of people lately, And many people are facing very significant challenges at the moment. And what I find myself saying to everybody is just remember you're not alone. You know, this is a time when we're all going through massive change, huge changes happening on the planet. Whether you're in one personally or not doesn't matter, because the planet is going through massive change. So even if you're not going through one personally, you're experiencing the collective feeling very unsettled about what it's going through at some level. There's a collective grief happening. We've talked about this before, how the collective is going through the five stages of grief at the loss of an old life, at the loss of an old way of living, at the loss of the systems that used to work so well for us and used to support us very well. And they're just not anymore. And we're seeing them fall apart at the seams. So there's this collective shattering, a collective grieving, a collective fear that's happening from the changes. And I do, like I said, I feel like it's very important for all of us to remember we are not alone. We're not going through whatever it is alone. You know, other people are experiencing massive change, massive waves of fear, massive shifting. And so this brings me to a point. This was something I wanted to talk about last month, and we ran out of time, so I'm going to bring it up now because it feels very apropos. And this is a teaching that Leslie gave us over many, many years. So if you've been around a while, you'll remember it. It's a reminder for you. But it's the teaching of how each of us has the capacity to give a gift to the earth, to give a gift to the collective consciousness every time we go through a process. So when we go through a personal, individual process and we clear ourselves, we do a processing session, we clear the fear, whatever it is we're going through, let's just say we witness that, we get through it in whatever way. When we clear that negative emotion through our body, it's not only a gift for ourselves through our personal growth, but it's a gift for the collective, because what we're doing is siphoning off some of the shadow from the collective. So it's like we're all doing this siphoning off of the collective shadow to the degree that we're able to, each of us. And I remember, like, I would watch Leslie go through this from time to time. She would say things like, oh my God, there's a war going on in the Middle East, and I'm bringing some of it through my body. And she'd be in bed for a few days, you know, as she let it pass through her. And I remember asking her once and saying, you know, it's a great gift you're giving, but what good does this do you? It has to be a win-win for everybody. And she said, well, I do get a gift out of it. The gift for me is that I grow spiritually, because I enlarge my capacity to take frequencies through my body. And I become more of the totality, more of the all that is. I know myself more by allowing that stuff to pass through me. And if unfortunately something gets stuck in me, in my body or in my consciousness, it means that there was a little crack, a little a little thread of something there that needs to be processed, and that's why it got stuck. So it's my opportunity to clear another layer of my own stuff, my own being. And so I share this with you. Just because when I've been processing with people lately, I've been sharing this with them, and they've all said, wow, that's so helpful to remember, you know, that not only are we not alone when we do our processing, but this is our opportunity to give a gift, to give a gift to the earth and give a gift to the collective of humanity, to let the shadow pass through us and leave. And it's our ability to let that pass through us and remain whole and become actually bigger, become more whole, become more healed. than before. So I remember watching Leslie, and you know, whether it was a war happening or whether she had just done a darshan for a group of 200, 300 people and was processing the karmas of those people through her body, she would give herself time in meditation, in solitude, to allow it to pass through. She would take the time, whether it was in meditation or to be in nature, sometimes it was exercise, but usually it was meditating and being in nature. Those were the things that allowed her to process the energies through her body. And of course, using the marriage of spirit processing techniques as well. So I share that with you just because I feel like, even though it's a reminder for most of you, that this is up for us, and it's a good reminder for all of us right now. There's one other thing to share with you before we open up to questions and sharing, before I release the mic. I also wanted to share this on the last couple of calls, and we ran out of time, so I want to share it now. And this is one of the teachings Leslie gave us. It's an exercise we can all do right now. Even if you've done it before, we can do it again. And that is to dedicate our spiritual path and our enlightenment to a cause bigger than ourselves. And if you've done that before, you can do a rededication. You can actually reevaluate what is it that you dedicated your spiritual awakening to, and you know, renew that or shift it and make it something different. But if you've never done it, I invite you to sit with that in meditation, to choose a cause bigger than yourself that really touches your heart and dedicate your own spiritual awakening to that cause. And I'll give you Leslie's example, which is a very, very good example of it. Just to illustrate how it works. So what Leslie always told us was that she was shown, her guides showed her when she was living in South Africa in her 20s and early 30s. She hadn't emigrated to the U.S. yet. She was still living in South Africa. And, of course, in the 60s and 70s, it was the height of apartheid. And as you know, apartheid was the legal system that separated the races. And it was a system of dictating the actions people could, you know, people's lives. It dictated what you could do, whether you were white or black or any color in between, any shade in between. So it was a brutal system. And Leslie prayed to her guides and said, you know, how can one person make a difference? And they said, well, we'll show you. We'll show you how one person can make a difference. And that was when she and her husband at the time and her two children were given a gift from Spirit, an opportunity to emigrate. And it was hard for them to emigrate because they wanted to stay and help. But Leslie's guides told her, no, this is how you can help the most. And when they moved to Los Angeles, that was when she began her spiritual path. And they said, you know, we're gonna help you to wake up spiritually, and that's how you'll make the biggest impact. So they said at that point, you can dedicate your enlightenment to a cause bigger than yourself. And so she dedicated her enlightenment to the ending of apartheid. It always makes me cry when I talk about this, because South Africa has been such an integral part of my life for the last 25 years, and it holds a deep place in my heart. And we first came here in 1994 when Nelson Mandela was elected, and of course, you know, he represented the new paradigm, bringing in the new paradigm of the heart. So anyway, Leslie had her spiritual awakening experience in April of 1988. And I know most of you know the story, so I'm not going to share it again. If you haven't heard the story, you can read about it in the first chapter of the Marriage of Spirit book, and also on our website, in her biography on our website, corelight.org. But there was something really interesting. This is new information that came through just in the last few months or just in the last year that I want to share with you, that is absolutely fascinating to me. And what happened was, this isn't the new part. I'll tell you when the new part comes. But what happened was she woke up in April of 1988, and it was right about that time, shortly after that, that Nelson Mandela, they started talking about releasing him from prison. And he left Robben Island sometime around then, shortly after that, and was brought into a less, you know, a prison on the mainland that was not as high security. And they started, you know, having talks about him running for president and changing the laws. And of course, apartheid ended. It was in 1991 or two. So shortly after Leslie had her awakening. So she and many other people on the planet worked so hard to end apartheid. And it was the actions of many, many people that helped end apartheid. And Leslie's role was to help inwardly in that way. And the thing, this is the new part. What happened was this past year, Leslie, I was in the United States at the time, so I wasn't with her, but Leslie and Kathleen and Kellyanne, who all live here together in our house, they took a journey to Johannesburg, about 6 hours from here where we live now, to Leslie's childhood home. And you may recall that Leslie lived next to a Hindu temple, which was a very, very strange thing. Because in apartheid, the government didn't allow the whites and people of color to live next to each other. The people of color were separated far in faraway places. So the fact there was a Hindu temple for Indians in the middle of a white suburb was very, very unusual. And it happened, it was sort of an anomaly. When Leslie's father had bought the land right after World War II, it was inexpensive because it was so far from the city. The city hadn't grown out that far yet. And the government said, sure, a Hindu temple can go out there. Nobody's living out there. It's just empty land. But sure enough, the white suburbs moved all around this Hindu temple. So, of course, Leslie's soul managed to get a body right next to the Hindu temple. And that was what helped her through her childhood to I think to have some level of sanity through it all, was to, you know, at some level of her consciousness, to remember those lifetimes as a Hindu, where she was connected to all those gods and goddesses. And so this was the new part. What we learned when they all went back to the Hindu temple, they met one of the people in charge there at the Hindu temple. And he said, did you know that before Nelson Mandela was arrested and brought to Robben Island in 1962, he actually slept here at the Hindu temple. he was hiding out. You know, they were after him. They were trying to arrest him, and they were in search of him for many years. And he would sleep at the Hindu temple a few yards from where Leslie was sleeping. And he would walk the river at night. There was a river, that a creek that ran past the neighborhood, and he would walk it, and it led to a river that led to the Alexandria Township, where he would have his rallies and speeches at night, and then he'd come back and take refuge at the Hindu temple. So I found it absolutely fascinating that surely at a soul level, Mandela and Leslie were connected in that way, that they each had a role to play in the ending of apartheid, and that they decided they would sleep within a few yards of each other for several years while Leslie was a child and while he was on the lam. And so I guess I share this with you because for me, it just speaks to the miraculousness of this journey that we're all on. We do not know our power. We do not realize how powerful we are, and that we can dedicate our spiritual awakening to a cause greater than ourselves. And for example, I know most people on the call are American, so I'll speak to the Americans, but it applies to anybody from any country. Like as an American, I dedicated my spiritual awakening to the redemption of my country. You know, that we're clearly going through some really hard times. And it feels like, you know, we really need some redemption. So, so anyway, I give that as an example. You'll make up your own if you haven't already, but meditate on it and see what it is that you want to dedicate your enlightenment to, your spiritual awakening to. Maybe it's more global. Maybe it's not about your country. Maybe it's for the animals. Maybe it's for the earth. You know, Leslie says all of it. So you, anyway, that's an exercise we can all do, and maybe we'll talk about it next time. You can let us know your experiences. Before we open the mic, one last thing. I have an exercise that I'd like to share with you, another exercise that we can all do. I invite you to do this if you feel it's for you. And again, this is thanks to my friend Kathy Stanley, who's teaching the Earth Shakti Rising course. And this is called A Letter from the Future, and it's from Joanna Macy's book, Coming Back to Life. And it's a writing exercise. And here she says, Joanna Macy says, in this writing exercise, we identify with a human living on Earth one or two centuries from now. And from that perspective, see our current efforts and receive counsel and encouragement. Imagine the person is looking back at us in our present life, and imagine what this being would want to say to you. Open your mind and listen. And now begin putting it on paper as if this future one were writing a letter to you. So again, it's about counsel and encouragement that you can receive from the beings in the future. And I have done that, and I found it to be a profoundly powerful experience. And I know so many of us are concerned. You know, there are fears, there are concerns about what's happening on Earth, and it's not a pretty sight what's happening to nature right now. So this is an excellent exercise for all of us to give us encouragement and advice about our actions and our efforts right now. Okay, I think I've spoken enough. So Barbara, would you like to say anything before we open up to questions and sharing?
Oh, Brad, this has been so wonderful and so rich.
Oh, thank you, Barbara.
And, you know, I really appreciate all that you're sharing. And one of the things that you shared in the beginning, I'm just gonna bring up again. And sorry, I'm getting a little bit of feedback, so it's a little disconcerting here for me to talk. I hope it's not.
Just so you know, we're not here. I don't hear an echo. Just so you know.
Oh, good. Okay, perfect. So you talked about Leslie's message in the beginning, and she was tracking everyone's fear. And we just did last week on the monthly squares processing call, facing our worst fears and facing our greatest desires. And I really feel we're all, or many of us, are at an edge. And that's what's being mirrored back to us as well. So I just wanted to bring that back up.
Beautiful. Thank you for doing that, Barbara. Well, you guys are obviously attuned to what's going on. It's in the air.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And a great gift and a great opportunity.
Yeah. Indeed.
So I just really wanted to thank you for that. Yes, exactly. So, just to remind everyone, if you'd like to share, it's star two to raise your hands. We can call on you and unmute you from this end.
And also, just a reminder, we want you to share and say everything you want to say, and we would also remind you and invite you to please be as concise as you possibly can, just so other people have a chance to share.
Yes. And I will check on the Q&A board, so please feel free to write in whatever is up for you, and we'll share it with the group.
Yeah, and we can talk about anything you want to. It doesn't have to be what I've brought up today. You know, if there's another topic that feels apropos, or a sharing, a report, whatever it is, you know, we're all community here, so I invite you to tune in and share what you want, or ask a question that you want.
Yeah. Okay. So star 2 to raise your hand. And looks like we have a hand raised. So Ruth or Glenn, you have the mic.
Hi. Hello, it's Ruth. And Glenn.
Hi, Ruth.
Hey, Ruth. And Glenn.
Hi. It's so, hi. It's so great to be here.
I'm amazed. I know where you are. You're out in the middle of nowhere. I can't believe you're actually on the call.
My heart is so full. I just want to share, and I want to make it concise because there's just so much. But it's been such an interesting experience to leave the United States and come out here. We've been in the bush now for 4 days, and it's absolutely heaven. I mean, it's beyond words. It's the richness of the animal encounters and, the giraffe looking you right in the eye, right in the road, right in front of you in the car, and not moving for some time. And, you know, the bull elephants and the enormous baobab trees and the beautiful and incredibly beautiful rivers flowing. There's so much texture and nature, and it's so nurturing and healing. And the funny part is that, leaving the U.S., you don't escape your struggles. So mine have gone into my night dream space. So during the night, I have really challenging dreams, and I wake up in shadow in this heavy, dark place, and it's really taking all the spiritual warrior in me to break the identification with that shadow and just go, no, you're not this, you're not that, you're neither. Can you just let life pass through you and keep the energy flowing and just bear witness to this experience? It's great when I can do it. This morning I was successful.
Great.
I haven't had. I've been moving around quite a bit. There's not been enough time to meditate, but this morning I was able to really catch it and just go, you know what? This is just it. This is it. It's all true. It's all not true, and just let it be and keep bringing lightness to it and let it unfold and trust it. It's working through you. Run the energies. It reminds me of what you were saying with Leslie, just choosing to allow the energies to run through her and know that it was expanding her somehow. There's some benefit. So it's just been, it's served beyond words. And, but one other thing that came to mind that I just wanted to share was last month you suggested we listen to the thymus chakra tape, and that was just so enormously helpful for right now. It's so timely. I mean, it's from 2010 and 2014, but it's so pertinent right now. If anybody on the call hasn't listened to it recently, I just really encourage you to it. It was really, really helpful.
Oh, good. I'm so glad you're saying that. I feel the same. Leslie, she first started channeling that information about the thymus chakra over 20 years ago, and it still applies. It's still so apropos. And I think I mentioned we're republishing the Returning to Oneness book, the Seven Keys of Ascension book, this year.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be in its third edition, and we've added a new chapter on the eighth key, which is the thymus chakra key. And it's don't worry, be happy. And that, yeah, and that key, don't worry, be happy, activates the thymus. And and so I think that's why part of, you know, last month I talked about joy so much, is because really that's so, it sounds trite, mm-hmm. but it's not. It's a very deep and profound spiritual teaching. Don't worry, be happy. Mm-hmm. If you can do it, you know, it's not right. about suppressing and denying. Yeah. We're not talking about suppressing and denying. If you can truly let go of worry and fear and be happy, you're living a profound spiritual life, and you're making an enormous difference in the collective. Not to mention making yourself healthy, because you activate right. the thymus chakra right. by doing that, which is the key to health through the thymus.
There's just this interesting thing for me that always is that what I'm working on is, you know, sort of having this preference for this incredibly beautiful world that we're in nature, and always wanting just to stay out here forever and ever. And but then, of course, the shadow comes with you wherever. And so it seems like the happiness really comes when you step back from it and can just sort of laugh at the whole process. It's part of being human, is to have this experience somehow and to be able to hold a distance from it and acknowledging it, both sides of it, fully and completely. It's like, that's what feels like joy to me.
Yes, I hear you, Ruth. I know exactly what you're talking about. And I also want to say, just to acknowledge what you're describing, that I go through the same thing out here. We're in this beautiful, beautiful, exquisitely beautiful place in nature, in South Africa, where I live, you know, at least 5 months of the year. And wherever you go, there you are. You know, I can still go through massive shadow clearings out here, because, you know, we're working on our stuff. We're taking whatever we can through us. Some of it's siphoning off collective shadow. Some of it's our own personal shadow we're still working through. But whatever it is, we're doing it wherever we are. And so in a way, I'm not surprised to hear you say that you're still experiencing it there, even out in the middle of the wilderness where you are, surrounded by nature and animals, because the truth is, it's much easier to do out here. And so it's mm-hmm. almost like, you know, spirit has compassion on us and says, like, put them out in nature for a while so it's a little easier, because this is intense stuff, right?
Yeah. And the nature is just so exquisite. Yeah, and the people here, there's the vibration of the people that we're running into sort of on a day-to-day basis. It's just, it's really different, and there's a richness and a groundedness. I'm not quite, it's just how it feels to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Africans can be very grounded people, you know, and when you spend any time out here, any length of time, you'll find yourself, your root chakra just naturally opens here and connects to the earth, connects to the land, your soles of the chakras at the soles of your feet as well. So, you know, as you spend time there, just be aware that that's happening. And through the people as well, you'll notice that most of the people around here have that very grounded presence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Heart-centered too.
So, yeah. I don't want to take up any more time, but I just wanted to say hello.
Well, thank you. I'm so glad you shared, and I'm so glad you're on the call with us. Bless you both. Look forward to seeing you in a few days.
Great. Yeah, you too. Lots of love, Pip, and best wishes to everybody.
Thank you. Love to
thank
you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Ruth. And, you know, it's reminding me as you're sharing, Ruth, Leslie saying that we're only able to go as high as we're willing to go low. And so, you know, to be able to explore that depth of shadow allows for the greater light. And what better place to do it than South Africa? South
Africa. Mm-hmm.
And what I was thinking, too, is I too am taking Kathy's class. And one of the exercises that she had us do was to connect with something, feel whatever was calling us. It didn't matter what it was, rock, tree, mountain, whatever, and bring through a message from whatever it was that was calling to us. And as you were talking about shadow, I thought, you know, I had just been talking with Howard and Judy, and Howard mentioned some fear or shadow coming up in the dream. And I said many years ago, I learned at Ekinkar doing lucid dreaming, that when we have that kind of shadow chasing us, that we're to turn and ask it what it's wanting. So I feel like everything is showing up for us and has a message for us, and our objective is to not deny or avoid it or try to run from it or become enmeshed with it. That we are to stay in the witness with it and ask for the message, whatever it is that's showing up. Yes, I'm so with you, Rose and Glenn, on this journey.
So much love to you guys. Thank you.
Beautiful.
Thank you, Barbara. That was great.
Thanks, Brad. And the next hand raised is Claudia. Claudia, you have the mic.
Hey, Brad. Thank you for everything.
Hi, Claudia.
Good to hear you all, and Ruth and Glenn and everyone. I just, as you were talking about the thymus chakra, it reminded me of a quote that Thomas the other day said of his homeless friend, told him that it's blessed by the best. There is nothing to stress.
Blessed
mantra, by the best.
Huh?
Yes, there is nothing to stress. I think it's the same of don't worry, be happy.
Yes, it is. That's a great one. I love it. Blessed by the best. There's nothing to stress.
Yes. Well,
great.
I send my love
down.
To everyone. And to you and to
Thank
Leslie.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Love you.
Love you too, kid.
Beautiful, Claudia. Okay, so there are a couple of comments on the Q&A. And I think it's Jiri. I hope I'm saying that right. He's saying, thank you and namaste, Brad, Barbara, and Leslie. Felt connected and able to participate in the field. Felt the same kind of field, even though it is not of as much intensity that I was part of in the Darshan in 2005 in San Ramon. Thank you and grateful for the healing and pouring energy.
Oh, beautiful. So, yeah, you've been around a while. That's 15 years ago. Yeah, sometimes the Shakti in person can be incredibly potent, right? Most of us have experienced that, I think, on this call.
Most definitely. Okay, thank you. And here we go. Another hand raised. It's Martha. Martha, you have the mic.
Thank you. Thank you all so much for what you're doing. And it is such a blessing for me to be a part of this call, because a lot of my spiritual journey has been a call as a contemplative. And even though my phone says Vermont, where I lived for 10 years, very, very close to the earth, and I'm now in Wisconsin. And I've gone through this profound shift recently that I wanted to just briefly describe. And it's left me in a place where I've never been before. And I am aware that what's happening is a shift into another dimension. And it's taking the form of an awareness, a conscious awareness within me of the elements, meaning fire, air, water, and earth, being me, and that the divine elements contain the light of love, and that in my breathing, that just through going through every day, through my breath, I can embody that love and that light. And it is a form, what feels to me like a form of living justice, meaning that the love of all existences, the love of me, my connection and the oneness and the unity is a reality. I'm living it. But along with this, I have this wide open heart. My heart is wide open. I can feel it. I can actually sense stars across my chest and this coming down of an enormous amount of light and love from the cosmos through my body. Everything is becoming luminous. I am, because of it, what's happening is I'm becoming very, I've always been sensitive, but I'm becoming even more sensitive. Like I have this heightened sensitivity that in some ways is making it difficult to be, I'll just use these words like in the world, you know, out and involved in what's happening, because there is a lot of, as you know, conflict and confusion and disruption. So I guess my question, and this is what I'm feeling drawn to, is feeling okay with just being in a place of solitude now and doing my work in the way that I'm doing it and knowing that it's enough.
Absolutely. I think that's true for all of us, Margaret. Martha.
It's Martha. That's okay.
I feel like that's so important that you brought that up, that you know, we're shown, we know what it is we're supposed to do, and that is enough. And that's all we can do. There's no purpose in beating ourselves up or trying to push a river and do something that doesn't feel right to us. So you're sensitive enough that you're attuned and you know what that path is you're supposed to be following. And it is enough. It absolutely is enough. And what I would say is, for me, I'll give you my personal example around this, because I have a similar situation. You know, if I were left to my own devices, I would just follow the traditional path that I've loved for so long of sitting in silent meditation and going deep into the oneness and the stillness. But my body says no. My body says, oh, no, don't do that. Let's dance. Let's move. You know, so like there's this innate part of me that knows I can do both. I can have it all. I can do it. And so I've learned to practice what I call self-love, right, or self-care around that. And just knowing that that's okay. It's okay. Because there's some part of me that's going, oh no, this is terribly wrong. This is terribly, terribly wrong. You're not supposed to move.
What's interesting is I don't feel that this is wrong. I feel it's doing right. And there is a dance. In other words, I'm dancing with everything around me in this current state. And when I say it's enough, it feels very, very much like enough, but it's happening in a spiritual realm. And I'm aware of that. And I think that the part of my breath that is new is the breathing in all the light and love and then just breathing it out. And doing that, there's almost like a zone of silence around my being, that as I travel out and I do engage, that I can have a positive influence just by being that. And so I don't know how else to explain it, but I just want to thank you so much, all of you on this call, because I can feel the connection and the sense of unity, and it is truly a beautiful thing. So thank you.
Thank you.
Martha, thank you so much for sharing, and I'm really happy that you were able to join us.
Thank you.
Yeah, and you are making a significant difference by following the path you're describing. You're doing a lot for the earth.
I will breathe that in and breathe that out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Yes. Thank you.
And
all right. Well,
thank you. Yeah.
Lots
thank
of love
you, Martha.
You.
Thank you. And thank you for sharing that exquisite energetic vibration with all of us today.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I love your image. Yeah. I love your image of feeling the stars in your chest. That's just, mm-hmm. that'll stay with me.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Well, and this is a big shift. This has only happened in the past, I'd say, 3 weeks, and it's tangible. I mean, I'm going through a literal experience. It's not in my head. It's in my heart.
Right.
And my connection with the elements in nature and with me being part of that, there's no separation. It is. It's really rather profound. And so the thing I think is to stay with it, and allow it to continue to unfold. And then, you know, I've done a lot of spiritual discipline and studied different wisdom traditions, and you know, done a lot of meditation and prayer. And I've been around on this journey long enough to know that the guidance comes, and that whatever this is to evolve into will happen, and I trust that. But it's very amazing. I mean, this is amazing. I'm literally in a new
yes.
dimension. And
yay.
So, but yay.
Yes, yay.
Beautiful.
Thank you, Martha.
Mm. You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you, Martha.
Yeah. You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay, so that's all the hands, Brad. Let me just double check on the... Okay, here's something from Jane on the web. And she says, let me just see... Hold on one second, Brad. Let me see if I mute you. Will that stop the echo? So is that stopping the echo? Yes. So I'm muting you for right now, Brad, so I can do this without driving everyone crazy with that echo. So it's from Jane, and she says, amen to Martha. Thank you. I moved to Belize and am surrounded by expats whose energy is different than mine. I find myself wanting to be in solitude, connecting to the earth. So now let me come back, Brad, and unmute you. There you are.
Okay. Wow, how interesting. Yeah. Amen indeed.
Yeah, and it really does feel like we're at a tipping point, all of us. Sorry, I'm muting you again just so I don't echo, but I really feel that where Martha is at and the class that Kathy is teaching, it is about allowing us to let go, to surrender into something greater than ourselves. And Brad, you brought that up with Leslie's teaching and dedicating our awakening to something greater than ourselves. So I can really feel tangibly with Martha's sharing and Leslie's teaching that we are right there on that precipice.
Thank you, Barbara. That's beautiful. Yeah. Well, listen, since there are no more hands, and I guess if nobody else would like to share or ask a question, we can close out a little early today, and I can lead a guided meditation as well to complete the call. But before we do that, I would like to just say a couple more things on the same subject. It feels like a very rich subject, and I'm feeling like we can all relate to this right now. This is something I said either last month or the month before, but it's a good reminder for all of us, and that is to remember that we as sensitives, we as light workers, as spiritual seekers, we are going to thrive in the coming times. Even as Earth goes through her changes, even as other people are going through massive fear, we will be the ones who are sought out by others because they're going to recognize that we've been through it and we know how to get through the challenges. They'll see that in us. So whether you've been on a path for a very long time or even just a little while, if you've practiced this at all and you've learned some techniques to move through these levels of shadow, it's going to be a very important skill that we bring to the table, that we can share with others, that even if it's just helping console people and helping them to stabilize and helping them to calm down and come out of the fear, they may not be ready to start a spiritual path per se, but they'll want us to help them. And that's why we incarnated, you know, that's why we're here, is to help with this time. And so we're going to feel a great amount of soul fulfillment because we'll know that this is what we came here to do. And despite what's happening in the collective with the emotions, it's going to be a time where we're all living in the heart predominantly and in the ascended balance states that Leslie has talked so much about, in the love and the compassion and empathy and the generosity and the gratitude and the flow and joy and the abundance, all the qualities that are in the heart. This is where we will be living. It doesn't mean that we're not experiencing grief from time to time or that we're not experiencing our own challenges, but we're not going to be wallowing in shadow lost like some people will. And like I said, when we can remain in the heart, when we can remain in those ascended balance states, that's why people will seek us out. So I think it's important for all of us, even if we're going through a really hard time right now, to remember that and to take heart and have courage and know that this challenging time will pass. Remembering that the collective is experiencing the five stages of grief and the loss of their old world, of the old world that supported us for so long. And the five stages of grief, just as a reminder, are denial, anger, bargaining, and depression, and then finally acceptance. And so I think it's a great map for us all to keep in mind as we witness what's happening in the world with these spikes of negative emotion and these, especially the fear. You know, it's really important to remember that that this is a map. You know, this is a way for us to look at what everybody's going through as we lose the earth as it used to be, as we lose the lives that we once knew. The easiest thing in the whole world is to stay the same, you know, is to keep going down the same path. That's what the ego is built for. The ego wants to do that. It's very easy to fall into old patterns. And we're not being allowed that right now. And we all know, even as advanced spiritual seekers, we still know how hard that is sometimes to not go down old paths and to not follow old patterns. And so we're going to be able to help people through that. And I guess I'd like to close by just reminding everybody of something that Leslie's always said to us, and that is the greatest gift that we can give the earth is our own awakened self, our own open heart. So I'm smiling at Leslie right now, and she's smiling at you, and we're just wanting you to know how much we love you and miss you, and know that we're with you in spirit. And that Leslie, I remember, I think I've said this to you before, but long ago, Leslie and I, we started our relationship 28 or 29 years ago, and yeah, we did long, that was that long ago. And we would often talk about, you know, what's life going to look like in our later years? What will we be doing? And I remember Leslie saying to me, you know, I don't know where I'll be, but I see myself in nature, and I see myself being very still and quiet and meditating a lot and processing. And I'll be holding space for Earth, for humanity, and for my students to move into the new paradigm of the heart. And that's exactly what's happening. I'm watching her do that in her way, and I guess we never could have predicted it would look like it does, but this is what's happening. And when I was traveling and teaching last year for 7 months, I saw most of you, I think, on this call. I met many of you again in the various cities where I was leading an event, and most of us acknowledged that we're all having the same experience, that we're experiencing Leslie closer to us now than ever before. And that was the other thing she said to me, you know, long ago when we would vision our later years, she said, and I feel like I'm going to be closer to everybody than ever before. Even when we're in the same room with each other now, it's going to be different then. And I can't tell you how many people came up to me on the trip last year saying, you know, Leslie's right next to me, or she surrounds me, or our hearts have merged, or she teaches me on the dream plane at night, but she's so close to me, closer than ever before. So I just want you all to know that she is with everybody. She's with all of us. And I know wherever I go when I'm teaching or traveling that I experience, we're both one. And I experience that there are two bodies but one essence. And so I invite you as well, if you're a long-term student of Leslie's, to tune into that level, feel that. So I'm ready to close out and lead the guided meditation. Barbara, is there anything else?
Well, there's one more hand, Brad.
Okay, one more hand. So we'll make it. That'll be the last one.
All right, this is the last one, and it's Linda. Linda, you have the mic.
Thank you. I wasn't going to raise my hand because what happened to me early in the call, right shortly after the starting meditation, I discovered that I fell asleep, and I missed the whole... I missed, Brad, I missed your initial presentation, and a tea kettle finally whistled, and it woke me up. I've been really feeling rather desperate to hear what you had to say about the pandemic and the fear that that arouses and so on. And yes, if you talk.
You're coming in and out, Linda.
We've lost you.
I just wanted to admit it since there was time for somebody to speak after all. That's my confession.
Okay, Linda, let me just speak to you. You're coming and going, so I'm just going to go ahead and talk now since sometimes we can't hear you anyway. But don't worry about falling asleep. You can also listen to the recording. You know, these calls are recorded. You can go to our website to the free resources tab, and you'll see the monthly calls. They're all posted there the day after, shortly after the call. You can also go to the email that you received with the link to the call, and you can click on that same link and it will take you to the recording. So you can listen to that, first of all. And second of all, you know, also don't worry if you fall asleep, because what I remember is lots of people used to fall asleep at darshans, and some people would get so embarrassed, you know, that their heads were in their laps. We would never see them again. But, you know, the truth is, Leslie would always say, no, no, no. Sometimes when we fall asleep, it's because the body needs that. It's what the body gets what it needs first. It takes what it needs first. And also, sometimes spirit will, our guides will make us unconscious so that they can do a rewiring. And the information goes in at a deeper level than it would if you were in a waking state of consciousness. So the information went in. You don't have to worry about missing anything. If you want to hear what was said, listen to the recording. But just know that the information energetically did go in, and you got whatever transmission you needed. As far as talking about the virus, you mentioned the virus. And I guess, you know, I didn't talk about it specifically, because the truth is that, you know, we get so much of that stuff when we're not on these calls. When we're out in the world, it doesn't take much to look at a headline and see something about the latest scare. So I don't really like to bring those specific things up on the call if we don't have to. But what we did talk about was the spike in fear. And that, to me, is the most important thing. It really doesn't matter what it's about, whether it's a virus or a war or God knows one of any number of things. The list is long. And these days, it's really being cranked out enormously to generate fear. And so you'll listen to the recording about the advice that I gave and the discussion we had about fear and moving through it. But I would just say, you know, we all need to be prepared. These are the times of change, and we knew when we incarnated that we were going to go through this, and it was never going to be easy. But the truth is that it's happening. The change is happening. The old systems are crumbling. You know, they're dying. They're falling apart. And at the same time, the new systems are being born. So it's so important to keep both in mind, that this is not just a loss. It's not just a death. It's also its opposite side. It's two sides of the same coin. There's the loss, but there's also the gain, the loss of the old paradigm and the gain of a new one. And there's the death of the old and the birth of the new. So I guess I invite you to see it from that perspective. Barbara, is there anything you would like to add to what Linda said?
Yeah, Brad. Sorry, I'm going to need to mute you again so I don't get echoed. But, you know, what I know to be true is that everything is happening for us, not to us. And everything is a gift in learning. And, you know, you had mentioned, I think on the last call, Brad, and maybe the call before too, about victim consciousness. And, you know, much of our greatest fears, you know, are about death and dying and annihilation. And it is an opportunity for us to explore and come into acceptance with all that is. So that's really what I am wanting to share about our greatest fears. Greatest fears.
Beautiful. Beautiful, Barbara. Yeah, the body has its fear. Right? The body has fears, and that's natural and normal. And when we're in our witness, we can recognize that that's okay. You know, the body fears its death, it fears pain, it fears all kinds of things, and that's just natural and normal. But as a soul, the truth is, as a soul, we don't really care about the body that much. I mean, we do care about it, but we know it's not who we are. We know it's an article of clothing, and it's going to die one day. It's going to slip off like an overcoat. So as a soul, we don't really mind death and dying. but it's the body, you know, the body has the fear of its pain and death. So I think that's an important part of the witness here, is to remember that part, that if we're experiencing that bodily fear, to remember that that's okay, to allow it. And it's uncomfortable. And yeah, we want to survive. And the truth is that it's just a body. And we can let it go and remember that we're a human, that we're a spirit having a human experience, not a human having a spiritual experience from time to time. And there's one other thing about that. There's this word that I heard once that's a new word. And it's got an opposite. So I'll start. The opposite word that everybody knows is paranoia. We all know the word paranoia, and it's the idea or the concept or the syndrome that we're afraid of everything because everything is out to get us. Everything is out to hurt us in some way. And there's another word that's new, I guess. I've never heard it before, but it's called pronoia. And pronoia, as the opposite to paranoia, is the concept that everything that happens to us is conspiring to support us in every way. And I just love that. I love thinking about that. Because that's really the truth. The truth is, like you're saying, you know, everything, no matter what it is, no matter the challenge, no matter how negative it seems, it's an opportunity and a gift. And it's there somehow to support us in our ultimate task as a soul, which is to experience joy and experience our lessons and experience the truth of who we are. So all these negative aspects, the negativity, the limitations, the challenges that Earth is facing, the viruses, the wars, whatever it is, it's all conspiring to help us to change and to help us to move into this new paradigm of the heart where we experience who we truly are, which is the love. Ultimately, that's what it's about. It's about seeing that we are made of love. We are love.
Beautiful.
So I think that's a note. It's a note to end on. Probably we have about 5 minutes left. Is there anything else, Barbara, that you'd like?
Oh, sorry, I just muted you, Brad. Only because of the echoing. I just wanted to say that what you are sharing is a reminder of the first key of the seven keys, or the eight keys actually, and that is I accept the death of the physical body and the eternality of the soul. And I think that's the shift that we're all making now.
Beautiful. Thank you, Barbara.
Thank you,
that's
Brad.
A great reminder.
Thank you, Brad.
Yeah. I cannot wait for the new third edition of Returning to Oneness to be published. You're going to absolutely love the new cover. We've got a beautiful, exquisitely beautiful new cover. So be on the lookout for that. It'll be probably ready in June. So if you come to any of my events, we'll have it for sale there, and we will announce when it's available, and you can get it online as well. And I just also want to mention, since this came up throughout the call, the theme of the events this year, when I come to the different cities, the in-person events, the theme is the new paradigm of the heart, transcending victim-tyrant consciousness. You know, and it's such an important topic for us now, even if we've been doing this work for decades, because we're all being invited to a new level of love and a new level of transcendence beyond the victim. The victim consciousness is so subtle and so seductive, right, and familiar that we don't actually recognize we're in it. Like the fish in water doesn't know it's in water. That's the water we're swimming in. It's victim consciousness. So I have felt compelled to be talking about this more and more, and I get really excited about it. I can't wait to be traveling and teaching in the different cities and sharing with everybody and moving into new levels of transcendence and new levels of heart opening. So, okay, we just have a few minutes left. So let's go ahead and close out with a little prayer and a visualization. And I invite you to close your eyes, get comfortable, take a few long, deep breaths. And if you've been multitasking, this would be a great time to pause for just a couple of minutes and just get back into that beautiful, surrendered yin state. Quiet the mind. Breathing long and slow. Deep inhales. Long, slow exhales. And I invite you to put your attention on the Sushumna, the central core of the body, the meridian that runs right down the front of the spine that looks like a tube of white light. This is the core of enlightenment within each one of us. So let's just all put our attention there on the Sushumna. And at first it may seem like it's just as wide as a string, very thin. And let's focus on expanding it. Let's widen that Sushumna so that it's maybe as wide as a penny. Just widen it inside you. See the light expanding and glowing brighter and wider to expand the tube. And even wider, the size of a quarter. Even wider to the size of a baseball or a cricket ball, depending on what country you're from. Feel the Sushumna expanding and widening inside you. Let it keep expanding. Widen the Sushumna. This is the core of your enlightenment we're talking about. It is your enlightenment. Widen it so that it's the size of your entire body, your physical body. And expand it even more. Let it go out beyond your skin and go out a foot or even longer, even wider outside your body. So feel yourself literally inside your Sushumna. And it extends down below the root chakra all the way down to the center of the earth, and it extends above the head all the way out into the celestial realms, out into the cosmos. So see that and feel that right now. And see your body inside there. Feel it encompassing you. And now let's expand even more. Feel your Sushumna as you. Feel yourself merged with it so that as it expands, you expand. And now feel yourself getting as wide as the room that you're sitting in. And now feel yourself getting as wide as the property that your room is on, your building is on. And now expand even further, as big as your neighborhood, as big as the general area of the houses and buildings that you're in. And expand even wider. feel yourself expanding as large as the city or the town that you're in. So you're encompassing the entire area. It's inside you. And as what now expand as wide as the state or the region. And now expand as wide as the country that you're in. You encompass the entire country inside you. You're so large. You're so diffuse. You can feel the wind passing through you. A lot of space between your atoms right now. You're just hanging there, suspended, huge, vast. And now expand to be as big as the earth. Encompassing the earth inside you. And now encompass the entire solar system. Go out as wide as the moon and Mars and Venus and the sun and the outer planets. Feeling the entire solar system inside you. And now expand even wider to encompass the entire galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy. And just sit with that for a moment. Feel the galaxy inside you and feel the stars inside your chest. Expand even further if you can. As you feel your vastness and you feel stars and galaxies inside you, solar systems inside you, I'm just going to say a prayer. We call on the Great Spirit, Divine Mother, Father God, the Creator, all that is. And we give thanks for this opportunity that we had today to be together and to share our hearts, share our love. We give thanks for these bodies that we wear for a few short years, our soul expressions here on earth. And we give thanks for the miracle of this planet and this life we live and the stars and galaxies. The unfathomable intelligence that created all of this. We're so grateful. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for surrounding us today in the highest love and wisdom. And we ask now as we close out on our call, as we close our circle for the day, we ask that you please hold our hands and walk with us in the world, helping us to remember who we truly are, that we are vast and eternal and timeless beings made of love. We are love. We are the witness, the pure awareness, the perceiver. And all these emotions and experiences pass through us, not who we are, but we're grateful to have this experience of separation so that we can get to know who we truly are, learn more about ourselves as the Creator. And we ask, we offer a special prayer as we're in this very expanded state. We offer a special prayer for the earth and for humanity and for nature, for all that is, We ask for a blessing as we all go through changes and challenges. And we share our love with all who need it. And now before we close, I rather than leaving you in a very expanded state, I'd like to invite you to come back into the room where you are if you want to. You can stay expanded if you want to, but it might be a good idea to bring yourself back now. Come back into the room, come back into your body. Wiggle your fingers and toes. Just feel yourself grounded. Pat the chair, pat the floor. And I offer my gratitude to you all for showing up. It's been wonderful to connect in the field today. And for those of you listening to the call in the future, it's just a delight to be connected in this field of love together. And I'll look forward to seeing you again next month, as I know Leslie will too. So blessings, and bye for now.